Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I am your host, Ellis Pulaski, and, you know, everything sucks. So I get accused of being too negative all the time. And while there are people who just argue that in bad faith, I recognize that there could be some new people finding this podcast for the first time. So I wanted to give a more measured take on the first 3-hour SmackDown on the USA Network. There was more ring time than I expected, though fewer matches than I hoped. I know that's a bit of, you know, beggars can't be choosers, but I, you know, it's 3 hours. Is 6 matches impossible in 3 hours? I don't feel like it is. Perhaps even 7 or 8 in 3 hours. I mean, like, that's a couple of ones that could be, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to move a story along here or there. These felt long, but you know, some of them were good long and some of them were long. So we'll see. There was less shenanigans in the main event than I thought there would be. So that's good. That match should not have been the main event. So that's bad. This is obviously a work in progress, this SmackDown 3 hours thing. I don't know if I will, maybe next week I'll try and do a review of the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the 3rd hour of SmackDown. Because, you know, we will see. Okay? Now, I don't know if Triple H let Shawn Michaels book the end of the women's title match tonight, but it sure felt like it was Shawn. Shawn does like to do a lot of convoluted bullshit in the booking of his matches. So I was thinking maybe it was Shawn that did the end of that match, because that match might be the dumbest possible way to cash in successfully that I can even fathom. It's the most overly convoluted cash-in of the Money in the Bank briefcase that any of us are likely to witness in our lifetimes. But we'll get to that. The show opened with a recap of shit that happened last week. That feels like that's going to be a staple. That feels like they're going to do that every week. Hey, in case you weren't watching last week, here's some shit that happened last week. They're fucking going to do that every week. And then Cody Rhodes comes out to cut a promo. And you know he's serious because he took off his suit coat to come down. He's just in his shirt sleeves. He's not really serious, because that would mean he would roll up his sleeves because he's ready to get to work. Damn it. This guy he's gone from being like almost folksy in his politician glad-handedness with the crowd, to now he's like super fake tough guy. You know what I mean? And so, right, I don't know about all that. He comes out and says, you know, Kevin Owens, I hate Kevin Owens or whatever. You know, basically generic. That Kevin Owens. My joy to be in Phoenix tonight is tempered by my hatred of Kevin Owens. And it just felt, you know, fake. He's interrupted by Drew McIntyre, who calmly walks to the ring to say, and he gets in the ring all the way down there, and he stands there for a long time, and the entire crowd is assuming he's going to take a swing at him or something. And then he gives Cody Rhodes a hug. And it's the crowd goes, oh, the crowd. I've never seen a large group of people react to a hug in that manner before. There was a hug. He hugged him. I didn't expect a hug either. But my reaction was not, oh my God, because that's what the reaction people in Phoenix was. So he says, I'm not obviously not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. You got some idiot running around with a replica title saying he's the champion, and you're playing into his mind games. You need somebody to watch your back. I want to help you. You're hurt. You're now gonna put yourself in a ladder match. Anything is possible in a ladder match. I feel like I need to be the one to help you. And Cody Rhodes is like, I don't believe you, which is the pot calling the kettle black, because I don't believe a single fucking word that comes out of Cody Rhodes' mouth. Nobody should. He's nakedly duplicitous. So, but he doesn't believe that Drew McIntyre has his best interests at heart. And perhaps he doesn't. Because Drew McIntyre's like, oh, it's too bad. And he walks out of the ring, and he stops and he right outside the ring, at ringside by the apron. He says, you know what? You should really watch your back. And as he says that, Kevin Owens enters the ring to attack him from behind. He should have watched his back. If he had said, hey, Drew, thanks, old pal, old buddy, thank you for offering to have my back, because now I feel like I don't know what happened, but I'm back now, hopefully. Let me just check the settings on my mic. Obviously, the camera's not correct. Let's change that to the actual thing that I want to. This is the correct camera. Now the audio is wrong. So let's go to that. I think I've figured out what the hell is wrong and why my thing keeps coming out. Why my camera keeps cutting out. I think it's the USB port over here on my laptop. I'm going to have to go ahead and get that fixed. That sucks. I don't want to have to get my USB port fixed. But here we are. Anyway, Kevin Owens attacks him from behind. Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes get into a big brawl, and everybody comes down to break up the brawl, and Cody keeps, you know, breaking away from all the people who were holding him back to further the brawl. And eventually everyone gets pulled away and they go to commercial. We didn't get a rundown on Fightful Select, which I always use as a cheat sheet. So I believe the first match of the night was Shinsuke Nakamura versus Andrade. I believe that was it. This was really good. This was one of those ones I was like, okay, if you're gonna give me like, what do you call it? Championship contendership things, like if you beat the champion, you get a title shot matches. Hold on. Is the camera gone for everybody else? Because as far as I can tell, I'm back. No, I'm not back. What? Hold on. I fixed it. According to what I'm looking at, I fixed it. Hold on. Stop the camera. Now, Oh, this just me. Is this better? Can you see dusty roads if I stop the camera? Is that a thing we can do? I don't know what's going on. Is this better or worse? Now it's dusty. Now you can see dusty. Okay, dusty's here. So now let's hold on and see if I can get a different camera to work now. But we're not sure. Hold on. Now will this work? Hold on. Let's see here. Will this work? Now the old dark camera is back. Can you see me now? Can you see me now? Can you see a camera at this point? Still black. Awesome. Why would that be the case? I don't know. No, this is not a bit. I don't know, man. Can you see me through this camera? The camera that's actually part of my laptop. Can you see it? The lens cap shouldn't be on. The lens cap is manual. I did not manually do the lens cap, so that's not it. So you can't see me on this one. This is awesome. Great. What the hell, man? Well, I guess it's just dusty for the rest of the night. So this is what we're going to do. Dusty Rhodes gonna host the show. Because the ghost of Dusty Rhodes, that's what it is. The ghost of Dusty Rhodes is going to host the show for the rest of the night tonight. Because maybe this will be something that's more fun. Listening to me talk about how crappy SmackDown was. Andrade versus Shinsuke Nakamura is a fantastic little match, longer than I thought it would be. Nice to see the boys get some ring time. That's nice. Andrade came very close to beating Shinsuke Nakamura, but unfortunately, he did lose. He was dropped onto the top of the ring post while standing up there, hit his forehead on top of the ring post, and fell victim to a Kinshasa, which is hold on, let's get rid of the comedy. This people totally fine with Dusty. Dusty save us. That is nice. So it's much better now. I'm not sure what the hell's going on with my friggin' with Alex's camera, but this is what we're gonna do. So let's speed through the rest of this thing, whatever this is. After the match, LA Knight come out, running down, beating the hell out of Shinsuke Nakamura. I guess he finally wants his U.S. title back. And LA Knight Daddy, he is pissed off something fierce. And so he decides that he's going to, I'm gonna kick your ass every time I see you. That's what he says. He also says the same thing to Byron Saxton backstage. He says that it is open season on Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to beat his ass whenever I see him. I'm going to reset his factory settings, is what he says. I'm going to knock him back to his factory settings. Settings is a fun word to say. Everybody say it 5 times fast now. Settings, 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 settings. That's a fun word to say, Daddy. But anyway, looks like we're going to get LA Knight versus Shinsuke Nakamura on the SmackDown next week. That should be fun. That should be a fun time for everybody. All right. Hold on now. Let's see here. May need a little break here for myself. Hold on now. See if I can get somebody else in here to help me out here. All right. Here we go. Thank you, Dusty Rhodes. It's me. It's Jesse the Body Ventura. Let's talk about the next match. Next match over here is going to be, let's say, it's Chelsea Green. She's not actually in the match, but she's at ringside for it. And it's Piper Niven, you know, big gal, Scottish, great worker. She's in there with Mee Chin. And Mee Chin is in there. And so here's the deal. Michael Cole has got to let this whole I don't know what he's got going on with Chelsea Green, but he was insufferable tonight. You know, his hatred for Chelsea Green was ruining the whole experience for me watching this match. I was thinking, Michael Cole, you know, you got to take it down a notch. I understand she's the heel, but, you know, you'll never see me being as anti the babyface as you are anti the heel here. This was not fun for anybody watching. There's a lot of horrible things being said about Chelsea Green. You know, that Alex fella who normally hosts this, he said that when they put the U.S. women's title on Chelsea Green, they were going to book it like a nightmare. And, well, he hates to say he told you so, but he told you so there. So that's about it with that. Meechin beats Piper Niven the whole time. Michael Cole has a feud going on with Chelsea Green that I don't even understand. It's like that she pissing his cornflakes this morning. I'm not sure exactly what she did, but that wasn't even the worst thing that happened on commentary tonight. There was a more terrible stuff going on. I'm not really sure. So what we're going to do is I feel like we're just going to go ahead and switch it up. We're going to switch it up, and every now and then we'll go back and forth between me and the ghost of Dusty over there, and I feel like that'll be a fun thing to do, okay? So, Dusty, you want to take the next thing? Absolutely there, Jesse. Thank you so much. So, the other thing that's going on is backstage, they got the Gazas. That's Legado del Fantasmas. That's Santos Escobar is out there with Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. And they're out there, and they are very upset that Pretty Deadly, the Yes Boys, dropped a dime on them last week and said, hey, it was them who attacked the Three Prophets. And Apollo Crews, of course, comes through later in the episode. And he say, no, it was not them. I actually saw who it was, and it was DIY. And so them, Garza is very upset with the Pretty Deadly Yes Boys. And so they're about to have some kind of a fight with them. But eventually they are rescued kind of by Nick Aldis, who says, Garza, get the hell out of here. So they do. But then here comes... Nick Aldis to talk to them and say, I don't believe what you are saying is true there, Yes Boys. I believe that you are actually the No Boys. In this equation matches up with whether or not I believe your story. So I say, no, I do not believe your story. It was not, in fact, the Gazas who attacked the Three Prophets. And then in comes DIY, and they say, how are you casting aspersions on these two fine gentlemen, these two fine Brits from the British Isles? Pretty Deadly Yes Boys. They say, why do you believe Apollo Crews instead of them? And Nick Aldis says, because I have eyes, which is inarguable. I can see them right there. Nick Aldis does, in fact, have eyes. So anyway, Nick Aldis leaves. And then DIY said to the Yes Boys, hey, thank you for helping us out last week. Now, I know you want tag team title shots, and we are the ones who can give them to you. So how about this, says DIY to the Yes Boys. If we lose tonight to the MCMGs, to the Motor City Machine Guns, then we will not be able to get you a title shot. So you should probably help us tonight. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. In case you don't understand the code, we are saying, please come down to the ring and interfere in our tag title match. And the Yes Boys did get that message loud and clear. So that what we got there was that the Yes Boys came down in the middle of the match, but it was a good match between DIY and MCMG, but they told us beforehand how the match was going to end. They basically had DIY say, "Hey, Yes Boys, will you come down to the ring and interfere in our match, causing a no disqualification or a no contest?" And the Yes Boys says, "Yes, we will absolutely do that thing you have asked us to do." And so when you're watching the match, you just know that's how it's going to end. And then it ends exactly that way. Well, what happens is they come down to the ring. They try and get involved. Johnny Gargano cannot get an actual pinfall, only a two count. But here come the Gazas to attack the Yes Boys. And then that fight spills over into the ring, which this falls all over the MCMGs, who are having the DIY in dueling submission holds. So of course that's a no contest because everybody got knocked up and everybody got fallen on, and there was really no disqualification, more like a no contest. So then but during this match, I want you to know, during this match, Corey Graves and Michael Cole just doing nothing but libeling and slandering Johnny Gargano. It was honestly too much. It was too much. I'm fine with commentators giving their opinions, but both of these men were absolutely saying all kinds of slanderous things about Johnny Gargano in particular, and I thought it was a little over the top. It felt like they were just trying to rib themselves. And Alex, who normally hosts this show, would never, ever do anything just to pop himself. He would never do it. That's not a thing he would do. I believe that's it. Oh no, there was hold on. Jesse, you want to take this one? Jesse the Body Ventura, are you there?
Dusty. I had something on the stove, but there was a thing. Paul Heyman came out and cut a promo about how Solo Sikoa was handpicked by the one true tribal chief there, Roman Reigns, to be the next tribal chief after Roman Reigns retired, but of course that's years from now. So instead, Solo Sikoa just came out and decided he was gonna, take over the whole thing ahead of time. And that's just dirty pool. That's what Paul Heyman says, that Solo Sikoa usurped the throne, and that's dirty pool is what he says. And of course, here comes Solo Sikoa to come out and say, "Hey, I need somebody I can trust, somebody who is impartial. I need somebody to hold the Ulafala at ringside for the big match they're having on Monday night. And if Roman Reigns beats me," says Solo Sikoa, "then I need you to get in the ring and put the Ulafala around his neck because he will be the tribal chief." But when Solo Sikoa says, "When I beat the tribal chief, then that's what we're going to do. Well, you're going to put the Ulafala around my neck. I need you to be a straight shooter there, Paul Heyman." And Paul Heyman at one point says, "I am about 10 seconds from crapping my pants." That's what he said. He did not, in fact, crap his pants that we could see, that we could tell. He may have, but we just didn't. Maybe he was wearing the Depends, and we didn't realize that that's what happened, but that's what he's talking about. There's a thing backstage with all the Uso brothers. There's Jimmy and Jay and Sammy Uso. They're all brothers. And they're talking about how they're going to have Carmelo Hayes decides that he comes up and says mean things to Sami Zayn. "You can get this work." Also, Braun Strowman can get this work, which is nice, because you never want to see anybody on the unemployment line. But so then he says, "You can get this work." And then, oh, here come the Usos, and they step up to him and they say, "You can get this work on." And then Carmelo walks away because he's a coward. Boy, they sure are booking that former NXT champion pretty well, aren't they? Oh, wait, it's the opposite. So, anyway, then you see Kevin Owens, who bumps into the Usos, and he says, you better watch your back, which, of course, is the thing that, Drew McIntyre said to Cody Rhodes earlier. So you could be forgiven if you thought maybe that Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre were in cahoots and were going to ruin the old main event match, by the way, but it never happened. What else? Oh, there was a nice little video package for Naomi all about the glow and how much she glows and how she wants to continue glowing, but also with the championship. So that was fun. Oh, we shot Nia Jax backstage with Candice LeRae. Apparently Tiffany Stratton's not nowhere to be found. I don't know if she missed her flight from Minnesota to Phoenix, Arizona, but that happens to the best of us. Anyway, she was apparently running late, and they didn't know where she was, but they thought it was a good idea for her not to be there anyway for her big match versus Naomi. So I believe that's what we're about 2 hours into the show now. About 2 hours into this, about an hour and 50 minutes into the show, when we get the beginning of the women's title match at the top of this of the third hour, not in the main event slot. You thought to yourself, well, the Bloodline versus the Bloodline, kind of. Maybe that's the main event slot because they got a big angle planned for the end of that match. Nope, they sure as hell did not. But maybe they don't have a big angle planned for the women's title match there. Maybe they don't have a big angle planned for that. As it turns out, they did have a big angle planned for it. So there's no reason why this match, the women's title match, you understand, was not the main event of the show. Oh, crap. I can smell something burning in the oven. I'm baking cookies for the grandkids. So I'm going to go and check that. Dusty, are you here? I got to go pull my cookies out of the oven. Dusty, I'm here, Jethro. I'm here. Hold on. Here we go. So here we go. We got this long-ass match between Naomi and Nia Jax. That was a pay-per-view length match. That was a long-ass match between Nia Jax and Naomi. And a very good one at that. A very good one indeed. Honestly, the quality of the match is not the thing that we need to talk about here. We could heap praise on these ladies all night long, you understand? Because they deserve it. They deserve all the praise you could heap upon them. But instead, we're going to have to focus on the end of the match. Because at some point after, I don't know, 25 minutes of match time, you got Naomi and Nia Jax laying out in the middle of the ring, and outruns Tiffany Stratton with a ref in tow. And Tiffany Stratton has come out, and Candice LeRae is at ringside, and like, what are you doing? Don't do this. But she doesn't get involved yet because it's not in the script for her to do so. Damn. We get Tiffany Stratton going down to the scorekeeper's area again with the ref that she has brought with her for just this purpose. And she says, I am going to cash in my money in the bank briefcase. And then she hesitates, looking at the ring. And then she shoves the referee that she herself has brought to ringside. She shoves that referee over the barricade into the timekeeper's area. And then, for some reason, Naomi has stuck her head between the middle and the top rope, or the middle and the bottom rope. It does not matter, but I am confused while remembering which ropes she stuck her head in between. But it does not matter, because what happens is Tiffany Stratton apparently had second thoughts about cashing in
during this match. And she went over and bonked Naomi in the head with the Money in the Bank briefcase, which knocked out Naomi. Now, Naomi fell too close to the corner. So then Nia Jax gets up and she does the Annihilator. But instead of landing on her chest or her abdomen area, she lands so low that she annihilated her pelvic region. And listen, if you want to annihilate somebody's pelvic region, just use Blue Chew code Fightful. So anyway, she annihilated Naomi's pelvic region with that Annihilator because it landed so low on the body, you understand, which I do not know. Maybe if you had a broken pelvis, you would not be able to kick out. But apparently the broken pelvis knocked her unconscious. So Naomi is knocked unconscious with a broken pelvis. And Nia Jax pins her with the Annihilator after having annihilated her pelvic region. And so apparently, what it appeared to be at this point is that Tiffany Stratton came out with a referee and was going to cash in on Nia Jax, but then decided, I would rather be Nia Jax's friend. So then she shoved the referee that she herself brought to ringside over into the timekeeper's area and turned on Naomi. Bianca Belair, who was at ringside, just let all this stuff happen without getting involved at all. Now, Nia Jax, having annihilated Naomi's pelvic area, is her hand is being raised. And Bianca Belair gets in the ring to check on Naomi. And Tiffany Stratton says, why don't you go over there and pick a fight with Bianca Belair? And so she does. She starts beating her up. And she shoves Naomi out of the ring, puts Bianca in position to be annihilated, whether or not it would be her pelvic region or her chesticle region, I'm not sure, because it did not actually happen. What happened is that Tiffany Stratton came up behind Nia Jax, who was standing on the middle rope, and bonked her in between the shoulder blades with a plastic case, which, of course, knocked her unconscious. And then what happened was that Candice LeRae says, hey, now, you should not have done that because I'm friends with Nia Jax. And then Tiffany Stratton just shit cans her to the outside. And Bianca Belair, who is furious with Nia Jax, at this point, thinks that Tiffany Stratton is perhaps her ally. But she could not be, unfortunately, because she did hit Naomi in the head with a briefcase. So this is very convoluted. As I'm telling you this, imagine how convoluted it sounds, me describing it, and then multiply that by a million times, because that is how convoluted it was watching it, if you will. So Bianca Belair hoists up Nia Jax onto her shoulders and does a KOD to Nia Jax in the middle of the ring. And then Tiffany Stratton grabs Bianca Belair, rolls her out of the ring, throws her over the announce table, and then she goes to the same referee that she originally brought out and then threw into the timekeeper's area. And that guy is like, yes, I will also now help after you have physically assaulted me for no reason. I agree to help you cash in your Money in the Bank briefcase. And if I, sir, would that referee, I would have said, screw you, I'm going home, because I will not stand for being assaulted in my workplace. This is a place of business, and I will not stand for being assaulted within it. But unfortunately, he did stand for it. And Tiffany Stratton goes up and hits the prettiest moonsault ever. Now, I was under the impression that if you're going to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase, you got to go to a neutral corner and start the match over. You got to go to a neutral corner and say, hey, you, Get up. Are you ready to continue? That is what they have done in the past. They did that with Drew McIntyre when he was cashing on, and they did not do that. I honestly have no idea what is going on here. Is Rick Knox officiating this match? She does the prettiest moonsault ever to Nia Jax and pins Nia Jax, her erstwhile best friend, if you will. And she is now, Tiffany Stratton is now your new SmackDown Women's Champion, or whatever the hell they call that belt now. Now, is this good? Yes, it is good that Tiffany Stratton is the champion. However, do the ends justify the means? And to that, sir, I say, oh no. Oh no, they do not, sir. They do not justify the means in any way, daddy. No, baby, they do not. The ends must justify the means. And in this case, I'm sorry, these means could not be justified by any ends. I don't care how happy the ends are. If the means are as such, they cannot justify the ends. So that is where we're at. Tiffany Stratton in the most convoluted cash-in, successful cash-in that you will ever see, was able to become the SmackDown Women's Champion, or whatever the hell they call that belt now. And that's all we got. I have no idea, considering that you have a new champion on SmackDown now, I have no idea why that was not the main event. Because the main event was a paint-by-numbers six-man tag between the Usos, including Sami Uso, and the New Bloodline. That's what he got. That's all we got. It was fine. At one point, Drew McIntyre wanders down the ringside, but he barely made a difference. And Jey Uso ends up getting a Samoan smack to the throat. And that's it. That's it. There was no big finish. There was no big announcement. There was nothing. There was nothing like that to happen. That was all we got. All right, well, I'm gonna turn in for the night, but I think Jesse the Body Ventura has something to say. Jesse, are you there? Did your house burn down, or are you all right? Yeah, Jesse the Body. Jesse, are you there?
No, I'm here. I'm here, Dusty. Thank you. No, my house didn't burn down. It was just a little. It touched off the smoke alarm there, but those things are so damn sensitive. Anyway, so here's the deal. I know I'm on a Legends deal with WWE, with the WWE, formerly WWF. I'm on a Legends deal, and I'm not supposed to disparage them in my free time, but I don't know how you couldn't not disparage them after this. Apparently, it is being reported by the PW Insider. I believe it may. I'm not sure if it's been confirmed by the Sean Ross yet. But it's been reported by the PW Insider that the 2026 Royal Rumble is going to be in Saudi Arabia. Now, listen, you want to take their blood money to do your weird little, you know, whatever they call it there, the crown jewel or the sands of time or whatever they're going to do over there. But at this point, I don't know how anybody can defend this. You're taking one of the seminal events of any calendar year of the WWE and you're putting it over there in Saudi Arabia. This is not something that I feel like should be done. It's something that it has been confused by the SEP there. Thank you very much, Joey G, for helping me out here. So the SEP, the Sean Ross SEP, has confirmed that they're doing the Royal Rumble there over there in Saudi Arabia, and honestly, I think it's terrible. I mean, honestly, it's 900 degrees there in the shade, and not to mention all the, you know, the dictatorship and hacking up journalists and, you know, putting people to death. There was a lady who got put in jail for, you know, 25 years or something for being on Twitter or whatever Musk calls it now. I'm not going to call it that, but whatever. Like, listen, this is not a company we should be doing business with. It wasn't when we made the deal, and it's not now. And honestly, if they want to fire me from my Legends deal, that's fine with me. All right. So now I don't know if Alex is normal. I don't know if Alex's normal reviews of SmackDown are when he talks about 3 hours of whatever the heck this is. I don't know if they're going to normally be less than 45 minutes. But that's there's really nothing more to say here. Like there was the Cody and Drew promo and the Cody and KO brawl and Andrade versus Nakamura, Meechin versus Piper Niven with Michael Cole going into business for himself there, DIY versus MCMG with the telegraphed finish, Naomi versus Nia Jax with a most convoluted Money in the Bank cash in you're ever likely to see, and then the 6-man tag which took too long. That's all we got there. That's it. So if they're going to give us that little amount of stuff to talk about, maybe Alex's reviews are going to be 45 minutes. Hopefully, we'll be talking about it. Better things happening from now on, and hopefully Alex's camera is going to work. I'm not even sure what the hell's going on with that. But anyway, that's all for us. Dusty, do you have anything you wanted to say, or are you still in the great beyond, or what's going on with that there? No, I just want to thank you, Jesse. No, I'm fine. I was just that is it for me. I don't know. Do you want to do the outro, or should I?
Dusty,
I'm going to let you do the honors, and I'm just going to say toodaloo. And I'll see you next week, depending on what this camera situation is. Okay, well, thanks, Jesse. I'm going to say it then. Everything sucks.